Jason, I've learned that people can be reduced into small polyhedral cubes that contains all of their essence.
You've been watching too much Star Trek. I'm going to, here, drink some of this green liquor instead. How about that? That solves everything. You know, when I'm running my country and people manifest superpowers that we call magic, but they're really mutants, because I guess magic is more marketable than mutants.
Nothing's more marketable than mutants.
That's what I thought. What I'm going to do when their powers are sort of outlawed, but we're going to give them a chance to work for the government and work for the military. That's pretty cool. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put them in the same place as the horrible rebel people who want to destroy the government, so that they can interact, because I'm sure that'll push them right over the edge into being good. That's really logical. Anyway, that happens in that book. It's really dumb. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Jason, what did you really think of that?
I'm sorry. I felt really bad because, again, the Dan Morin seal of approval means a lot to me, but I was kind of aghast at that, how bad that book was. But oh, well.
Oh, I thought they were fun. But
yeah, I agree with Scott. And I think that, I don't know. That doesn't seem any more ridiculous to me than any X-Men comic written in the last 60 years.
Well, that may be true. But I don't
high
know.
High praise indeed.
I don't know if that's
no. I'm not saying that's high praise. I'm just saying it seems an odd thing to pick out on that one on this book. I don't think it really is.
No, seriously, you've got like the evil witch who is going to foment a rebellion against the government, and you've got these people who are right on the precipice of either working for the government or turning against them, and you decide to put them in close proximity with the evil witch. That seems really stupid to me. But again, the whole book is that the government is actually really stupid, and they do terrible things, and they deserve to be destroyed, which, you know, I guess, but I really thought it was not.
Well, the second one is
nonsense.
Second one's better.
Fair enough. I like some of the characters. I thought that some of the characters were very interesting. Although there is I couldn't get out of my head that the little natives who live in the magic world are and there's the one guy who's sort of like he's the medic in the tent, the medical tent, but he's also presumably some sort of chief of the actual natives in this world. I couldn't help but think that he was Dobby the house elf the entire time. So that didn't help.
I mean, they do refer to them as goblins.
Yes. Yes, I know. Dobby goblins. The house elf. He's very nice, though. Unlike the officers in the army, who all are terrible. And
well, that may be true to fact.
Yeah, that may be. If the main character didn't change his mind every chapter about whether he was going to be good or evil, I might have forgiven it a little bit more. But it's got some flaws, is what I'm saying. I didn't go with it. I just didn't go with it. Unlike the X-Men.
That's fine. You're allowed. You're allowed.
So what I'm saying is, I'm reading Crux by Ram Esnam. That's what I'm saying. All right. I feel better. I got that off my chest.
Oh. So it's a triple book club, is what you're saying.
It was two book clubs and then just a little book rant, and now we're done.
Aww.
You should read that book, and you can decide if you agree with me and are a right-thinking person, or if you are confused, like Scott and Dan.
What was its title again?
Shadow Ops: Control Point.
Well,
it is an awful title.
To be fair, and you know, again, knowing Mike, that was not his choice, and I have heard him say that he wishes that was something he had fought more strongly for.
Yeah, you know,
was not having that, but many of those choices are taken out of the hands of the author.
What's funny about it is that it is sort of sold as military fantasy, and I think it's horribly missold, and it would be much better off, and maybe the book could have been tailored a little bit differently, but given where the book goes and how awful many of the military characters are in that book, I feel like it's sort of sold as being like, yeah, man, this is a kick-ass book about the army having magicians in it, and it's awesome. And then you read the book, and it's like, oh my God, it is not that at all. And it's not, so it is really mis-marketed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the interesting point of it to me about that story, is that it's not just a rah-rah, everything is great when you put magic people in the army. It's like, guess what?
Yeah.
You know, those people are screwed up and bad things happen when you try to, you know, force them into doing things that they don't want to do.
They also didn't feel very, I mean, they didn't feel very magic to me. It felt like they just have powers. They're not like doing spells and stuff. They just got powers. They're powers. Let's call them powers. They're mutants.
Powers, magic, I mean, where do you draw the line on that one?
I don't know. Magic to me implies a certain amount of like academic study, right? You gotta read through the books, the old books, and get the Latin and the,
that's
and,
so last and have century, like Jason. Come on, this is 21st century magic.
Do you consider the Scarlet Witch to be magic or a mutant? It's all fairy.
All right, well there you go. If you consider the Scarlet Witch totally magical and not really, her mutantness is irrelevant.
Her mutantness is that she can do magic.
She can do magic, yeah. That was the brilliance of whoever crazy person invented the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, I was like, I don't have enough control over this universe. Let me create someone who can make their will reality.
I'm just saying I like the magicians way more than I like Shadow Op's control point. We'll leave it at that. Them's fighting words, huh, Dan? Whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Burn.
What has happened to this podcast?
I don't know.
So, ancillary justice. Very
ancillary
good.
Justice.
Well, yeah.
And Eliza Locke Lamora, also good. And we don't know about the sequels unless you like boats. You like boats, read that second book.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of boats.
A lot of boats. Well, not that many boats, but they're important. The boats that are there are important.
Important boats.
And you say there's a chair that's important.
There is a... I am really selling this book.
That may be giving stuff away.
The sequel does involve an important chair and an important boat.
Are there any other inanimate objects we should be watching for?
I don't want to give too much away.
Watch all of the inanimate objects closely, like a hawk.
All right. Okay,
a falcon.
Well, so what I'm saying is I really love all the books that I've read in the last few months. Ooh. And including Ancillary Justice and the Lies of Locke Lamora, so yay.
Well, I'm glad that everyone at least liked Ancillary Justice, because I'm always afraid that when I really love a book and I tell other people to read it, and this is always, I think it's true of anyone who reads a book and loves a book and then recommends it to other people, and then they're like, it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
It's kind of crushing. At least you didn't think it sucked, which I think is good.
That would be a shame.
Yeah, I would hate to recommend a book to you, Jason, and you think it totally sucks.
That's why I'm so glad that The Lies of Locke Lamora, which was bought for me by Dan Morin, was such a good book.
I'm just lying here with my head on the desk now. It's okay.
That's okay. It's, you know, it is what it is. I had to get it out.
Hang on, Jason. I just realized. Are you saying that Dan recommended one of these books and Scott recommended the other?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. I like this new concept where you pit them against each other.
What's your vote, Monty? Ancillary Justice or The Lies of Locke Lamora?
Choose. What?
Choose
this
wisely.
Is an outrage, Monty.
But I'm more likely to read the sequel to Ancillary Justice. Well, given that I've had like 6 years to read the sequel to Lies
Monty
of Locke
is
Lamora,
divided within himself. We must kill both of him.
I would say I liked Ancillary Justice better because I didn't ever feel like I was struggling, and the beginning of Lies of Locke Lamora, I was really struggling. So, sorry.
I think we like
beating up
things.
On Dan this time. That's
I'm
what's
not.
Happening.
Hey, I mean, I'm secure in my knowledge that I read books and enjoy them.
Well, clearly you do because you enjoyed Shadow Off's Control Point. Oh, Bird.
Wow.
Sorry.
I also enjoyed that book though, so I'm with Dan.
Well,
hey, Scott's with me.
You're
the lone man out, Jason.
Scott reads a lot of books.
It's true, and I don't really remember a lot of what happened in it, so that could cloud my judgment.
All right, well, that I think we've done enough damage. By that, I mean I think I've said enough terrible things to Dan for one episode of The Incomparable. Oh, maybe for 10. Don't read Feed, by the way. That was really bad. I'd rather read Shadow Ops Control Point like 90 times before reading Feed again.
Yes,
so.
Feed.
In fact, I would bet, actually, just like with the Dresden books, where the first one I read it and I was like, Shadow Ops Control Point, I would probably read the second one and I would probably find it better than the first one because
it's very different.
I felt like by the time I got to the end of Shadow Ops, I was like, or Control Point, whatever the hell it's called. At the end, I was like, oh, that's what he was going for. Okay. But it's a long way to go, and it just made me angry. Sorry.
It's an awkward position for me. Like I said, he's a friend.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book, and, you know, I read it before I knew him very well. So, and I've read the second one, and I'll read the third one, because I enjoyed the second one enough to go on with it. And I think all three of them take very different tax, because the third one I believe is about the witch.
I actually think, from her point of view. I mean, I'm serious. I actually think the marketing is part of the problem of the books. And
I think
not just
it was
the title.
Incredibly mismarketed.
The title is a disaster, and that's totally not his fault. And then I felt like it's magic. The emphasis is magic, and yet the book, it just didn't feel like magic to me. It felt like powers. And it was like, well, magic, if we say it's magic, that's going to be more popular because the kids like the magic. But it didn't feel like there were any, other than the realm, I really like the idea that there's a magical world that they go to. I thought that was really, really cool. So, you know, there was things I liked about it. And the main character, if the main character had been more decisive, that would have helped.
Looking at the cover, I would not guess there was magic in this book.
No, they play up this whole military aspect of it,
right?
Which is totally, the people who are going to get
the fact that Mike himself is a military guy,
right? But the people who are going to read this book for that reason are going to be really, I think, really disappointed because it's not that kind of book at all. I don't know. It was a peculiar book, very peculiar book.
I agree that the marketing is a big part of it, and that it's not exactly what you might think it is, but. I don't know. I did enjoy it, and I think it's a tough act doing a first novel is always going to be hit or miss to a certain extent, because not everyone comes out of the gate with an Ancillary Justice, right? So, or Eliza Locke Lamora for that matter.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Some people come out with really, really, novels that aren't great for their first novel, and then they improve from there. Because I think, there is definitely a core of people. And then there are some people who just write terrible books, and they keep getting published. So, really, is there any justice in publishing?
Ancillary justice, Dan.
Not even that.
No, there's not ancillary justice. It's true. And Feed, really, no good.
No, don't.
Don't do it. Someone in the chat room said they were going to read it. Don't do it.
There is another book called Feed.
That's true.
That is
if it's
a
the one by
adult,
Mira Grant, don't read that.
Don't read the Mira Grant version of the... I just got from somebody who will remain nameless, and I feel kind of bad because... So Erica Ensign, who is often on this podcast, is on a podcast with somebody who co-hosts a different podcast with... Shauna McGuire, Mira Grant, author of Feed. Oh, so we're like two podcasts away from Feed now, which makes me really uncomfortable because I mean, what are you going to say to somebody? If you run into that person, you're like, hey, I've read three of your books. Let's not talk about it, okay? Let's just go our separate ways now. And
you certainly put words together.
Yeah.
Congratulations on all your success.
On all your success.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly true. She's very successful.
Publishing those books.
Good job.
But that's all that I have to say about that until more of her books are nominated for Hugo Awards. And
as they will be.
Then I may recuse myself, but until that day.
I will, if another one is nominated, I will read it, but I won't be happy about it.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, gentlemen in the chat room, all, both of you, whoever else. I'm going to turn off the thing now. Good night. See, I wait before I hover over the button now because sometimes I say goodnight and then other people say goodnight. And I feel bad because I've cut them off and their goodbyes
goodnight.
Are never heard.
Oh, goodnight.
It's too late now.
Night.
Oh.
I thought you were shaming us.
Monty says goodnight. I will type in the chat room. Scott says goodnight. Dan isn't talking to me right now. Can you give me a hint about why not to read Feed? It's
it's bad.
Hint, it's awful.
Surely this is discussed in a previous episode of this podcast.
Yes. For more, listen to this episode of the podcast. Which episode is that, I wonder?
Zombie Marmaduke.
Naturally.
Episode 51.
Yes, that's. I do hope that Mira Grant never listens to our podcast, because I'm sure she's a lovely person.
And we need to pick a book for next time, sometime.
How about Parasite by Mira Grant?
No!
Well, you'd really enjoy Ultimate Porno, but unfortunately that costs like $200 off a books.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a book about Caligula.
The dollars per... crazy anecdote ratio makes it totally
is that a common measurement?
It is when you're
sure. I guess yes. I okay. I don't
like I have a book about the making of Wizard of Oz.
Is there a database where I can look up this information? Is it on Amazon?
Not yet.
Can I find out?
Not until my Kickstarter goes through.
Oh, there we go. All right. Subscribe.
I don't know what we could read. Maybe the Golem and the Genie, if it's any good.
Or the Genie and the Golem.
Or whatever the hell it's called.
All right, I'll look. I want to make sure that we don't... very quickly, the book club gets lost in the high concept topics, and I end up putting down like book club here, just as a placeholder, because like right now I don't have a book club in the schedule at all, other than that Lisa wants us to read The Stand again or talk about The Stand, which I read like 8 times already. I don't need to read it again. I think
I like reading the first half of The Stand whenever I have the flu.
Yes, I know, because you can imagine that you might
that is
be
why I
about
not,
to die.
Like, yeah. I already feel like I'm going to die. I want a book that tells me I'm going to die, and then everybody else is going to die.
Exactly. That's the way to do it.
I feel like I
but then when they get to Las Vegas, I stop reading.
Now I have to see if I have anything good on my wish list or my list of things I was going to read.
Ancillary Justice, though.
Ancillary Justice, I have both Nexus and Crux on my Kindle. Oh. I haven't read either, so we could...
I like Nexus, and I'm reading Crux.
I could read them.
Yeah, you could. You should read Nexus. I was thinking of suggesting that, because that's an interesting book. Also, I was wondering if one of the novelists that we talk about a lot had a book coming out, but I don't follow the sci-fi news. That's why this podcast isn't one of those where it's like, let's start with the news of the day. What novels got announced? I just don't care. But
well, Ian Banks is dead, so he's not coming out with anything.
I did buy an Ian Banks the other day. Use of Weapons?
The Use of Weapons. That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like some of his one-off ones. In recent years, The Algebraist. I don't know. That was a movie or a book I didn't think I was going to like, and I ended up really enjoying it.
The only Ian Banks I've read is The Bridge, which is a very strange book indeed.
That's from his non-sci-fi, his Ian Banks, not Ian M. Banks.
Right.
Yes, you drop the M and
it's kind of sci-fi.
Right, but it's more mainstreamy. It's not the culture stuff. It's not, he's got these two distinct authors. I always love that as an in-joke to that in Hot Fuzz, the two twins played by Bill Bailey, the cops who are sitting at the desk. One of them is reading an Ian Banks novel, and the other one is reading an Ian M. Banks novel. That is a subtle joke that really
that is very
has a very niche audience.
I was planning on reading all of the Doctor Who mini stories they released last year.
Oh, yeah,
they did one per Doctor.
I read the Neil Gaiman one.
I read the one for the Christopher Eccleston Doctor that takes place entirely between the first time he's leaves Rose and when he comes back right away to say, no, really, come on. He goes off and has a whole adventure in the story.
That's what doctors do.
That's what they do.
It is true.
They have adventures.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a whole series of, I think, Big Finish audios that are set. There's at the end of the episode Frontios, Peter Davison has to take one of the aliens away in the TARDIS, and then he comes back to pick up his people. And there's a whole series of audios that are set while he's gone, while he's dropping them off. He then has, because as a Doctor Who writer, you look for those cracks in the continuity where you can stick things, which is why Stephen Moffat did the whole thing where Matt Smith is like away from Amy and Rory for a couple hundred years and comes back just so he can be like, oh, see, there you go. Plenty of room to stick whatever fan writing that you want. Just stick it right in there.
It's clever.
Yeah.
Oh, now if you want a bad novel...
I
cannot highly enough recommend Whodunit, Murder and Mystery Manor. It's a novel based on the horrible reality show Whodunit.
Wow. I'm waiting for the novelization of The Mole.
Monty, is this a cry for help?
No.
Did that book cost you $200?
Now, the fact that I have the second novel of Whodunit, which means that there are more novels than there were seasons of the show...
That's
not very good.
Yeah.
That's no good. We could always do a Terry Pratchett episode, Jason. I know you haven't read any. You read any?
That's
Terry
the problem. I've read Guards, and I liked it. I thought it was fine.
I like Guards, and that's a fun. That's one of the fun series. I like a lot of the stuff. If you want more magic stuff, Color of Magic.
I've got his Neil Gaiman.
I like Color of Magic.
So do I. I loved it at the time, but there's way better things to read.
Well, that's probably true.
It's like here's like a third of the book is a parody of Dragon Riders of Pern.
I did grow. I mean, I think you're right. I read that when I was like probably like 12 or something, and I loved the Rincewind stuff when I was younger. And as I've gotten older, I like the Vime stuff, and I don't know. Your tastes do change.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of trouble finishing the most recent book.
Which one is that?
I can't remember its name, which makes me feel bad for bringing it up.
It's not Snuff, was it? That one was pretty bad.
No, not Snuff. Although Snuff, I kept worrying that he was going to kill off Vimes because of his own mortality issues.
Yeah, the one... I can't remember. He's written some very surprisingly good ones even in the last few years. Unseen Academicals, I thought, was quite good. Which is about soccer. Which is about soccer.
Yeah. Well, it's got a really good defense of why it's okay to like sports.
Yeah. As well as being actually having some laugh out loud moments, which are few and far between for me in a lot of books.
Ah, Raising Steam, which I had to go to the effort of ordering from England because it isn't out in the U.S.
That's the one that came out in England.
Yeah.
That's a moist one, right?
I'm not sure. I think so, because it's about another modern thing happening in Discworld, but I stalled out like two chapters in.
Oh, okay.
Which shocks me.
It is Moist von Lipwig again, so that's the making money, going postal series.
Yeah. In this one, people invent trains.
Gotcha.
Good times.
How'd you do?
I'll read it at some point. I save a lot of Terry Pratchett books because I know that someday in the not too distant future there will be no more Terry Pratchett books.
Yeah.
And that way I will always have some Terry Pratchett books to read.
Yeah, that's what I did with Ian Banks. I just didn't read any of his books until he died, and then I felt like, oh, I'll read his books now.
He's done.
I've got a finite number now.
So, Jason, read a bunch of Ian Banks and a bunch of Terry Pratchett, and then we'll talk about one of them.
Or both of them.
No, just one. But I won't
and
tell
at the
you
end, we'll
one.
Have a vote.
I feel like Ian Banks plus Terry Pratchett is plenty for...
Yeah.
That would be a long episode.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Adios.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Jason.